Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be finishing Parsha Shmini as we go through Shvi'i of Shmini, the seventh Aliyah of Shmini. The topic of our Aliyah is purity and impurity, a lot of very fascinating points. We now hear about the continuation of the laws of purity and impurity. So we hear about if a kli cheres, if we have an earthenware vessel that has it's one of these impure life forms or which in its death, which has fallen into it, then it needs to break. It needs to be broken. And we talk about any food which has water over it, and falls into it. Then in such a kli, it will impurify such a vessel. We hear about the way that a person can purify this. That a bor mayan ubor mikveh mayim, which is a spring, a flowing spring, or a pit, which is what we call a mikveh, a gathering of water, is what allows the purity to happen. And then we talk about if a nevela, an impure carcass of one of the impure animals, touches zera zerua asher yizorea, any form of growth like a plant, then it will be pure because it's not detached from the ground. But if it is detached from the ground, if there water touched it, kichiyuton mayim al zera, if there was water which had touched it before and went before it became attached, then it will become impure. Then we hear about an animal which dies and a person touching, coming into contact with that novella, with that carcass, becoming impure, and then how the person who eats a novella, eats a carcass, will become impure, and their clothes will become impure until the evening, and the process of purification. And we hear about all these different types of creepy crawlies that a person needs to avoid, and they become more impurify a person. And the parasha really concludes with the idea of, which is very prominent throughout our parasha, v'iskadeshtem, v'yisem kedoshim ki kadosh ani, should make yourselves holy. Be holy, because I am holy, says God. You should not impurify your souls with all of these sheretzes, these creepy crawlies. In order to divide between the pure and the impure, between the animal which can be eaten and the animal which cannot be eaten. Very powerful ending to the parasha. A few basic points to ponder. Number one is, what is the difference between a sheretz, which is these creepy crawlies, and the carcass of an impure animal? So the first thing to point out is that there are actually over here 8 sheratzim. There are 8 different types of these creepy crawlies which are mentioned over here. And the Rav Hirsch points out that the words sheretz and sheketz, heimlochem, comes from the word katz, which means disgusted. These are meant to be disgusting to us. We are meant to be disgusted by it. It is interesting in halacha that actually there is a distinction, and that is a animal which is an impure animal, when it dies, then its carcass is metame, it is impure, but not while it is alive. However, when you have a sheretz, if you have one of these creepy crawlies, if it has a limb of it pulled off of it, so if let's say you rip the leg off of one of these things, and then even in that state while the animal is still alive, that limb is still metame, which is why a sheretz is a little more significant, one of the examples as well. They are also different from the behemoth, in that the blood is tamei like the flesh. The blood is impure like the flesh of it, unlike the impure animals. Okay, so just a few points to notice over here in terms of distinction. Now, how is it that we purify from tumas? If you read from the end of the last aliyah to this aliyah, one possibility, let's say a person has a vessel which comes into contact with something which is impure. So if it is a regular vessel, a kli eitz as an example, a wooden vessel, you use mikveh, you can put it into, immerse it into a certain amount of water. But if it is a kli cheres, as our aliyah begins with, a earthenware vessel, it needs to be broken. Rav Soloveitchik in his commentary actually makes a very beautiful observation, and that is that the soul is the same. Sometimes a certain amount of energy, evil, which penetrates the soul to such a deep degree, and if it penetrates that degree, it needs to be burnt out. But there are other times where it doesn't reach that deep, and it can be purified and elevated, and that's called the symbolic of the water, where you purify that negativity that was in the soul as well. There is a very fascinating halacha which is learnt out of this particular aliyah, and it's something which we're not as used to, but it is important to be very clearly aware of this. And that is, as the Rambam says, the beginning of Hilchos Tumas Oichlim, that in order for a detached food product to become impure, when it comes into contact with a navela, with a impure, with a carcass, it needs to have been first in contact with water or one of the seven liquids in order for it to be impure. So what does that mean? That means to say it's almost as if for it to receive tumah, to receive impurity, it needs to have been attached to a conductor of tumah, and that is one of these seven liquids, which is placed knowingly. It has to be with intention. What are these seven liquids? So the acronym of their names is Yad Shachat Dam. That's each of those letters is a representative of the following seven: water, dew, oil, wine, milk, blood, and honey. If a apple is picked off the tree and it comes into contact with that liquid, there afterwards it is now susceptible. It is what's called, it has had a hechsher tumah, is now susceptible to tumah. If not, it will not become tame, even though detached from the tree. This is relevant because sometimes when we don't appreciate what is going on at the Seder in the stage of Urchatz, the reason why we're washing over there is symbolically because of this, of not having the tumas yodayim to impurify, God forbid, the food in the times of the Beza that we were noheg the tumah entire. Finally, one last point, and it's an extremely profound point in reading this parasha, and that is, you may have noticed that there are two midpoints in Parshas Shmini. One appears in the fifth aliyah, and one appears in the seventh aliyah, our aliyah. What are they? The Gemara in Kedushin and Alamud Amalav tells us about how the early sages used to be called Sofrim. Why were they called Sofrim? From the word Mispar, or which is a number, they would count. They would count all the letters of the Torah. So as an example, the letter Vav in the word Gachon, anything which walks on Gachon, in our aliyah, describing one of these creepy crawlies, it's its neck. So when that, the Vav in Gachon is enlarged. Why is that? It's to indicate that it's halfway through the Sefer Torah. Rav Yosef asked, is the Vav Gachon the last letter of the first half or the first letter of the second half of the Torah? A valid question. Rabbi answered him, let's go check it out. Let's open up a Torah. But the concern that was raised is that perhaps we are not Bekiyim, we do not know the Meleos or Chaseros, the letters which were, the words which are spelled full or not full. What does full and not full mean? Well, there's times where a Yud or a Vav can be dropped from a word or added to a word and it won't necessarily change the meaning. So as an example, when we have, let's say, the plural of a particular word, and it's usually Yud Mem at the end, it could sometimes be spelled without the Yud there. There are certain words where there's a Vav which could act as a Cholam, as a sound, and it could be there, it could be Malei V'chaser. So there's numerous times that it's spelled in different variations. So the Gemara's are saying that perhaps we're not going to be able to work out whether the Vav of Gachon is the beginning of the second half or the end of the first half because of this concern. The Gemara also points out that in the fifth aliyah, which is an Aparsha, Darash, is the middle of the Sefer Torah in, not letters, but in words, which is why that there's a little asterisk usually in the fifth aliyah to note this point as well. I mean, regular Chumashim. The problem is like this, if you actually count the letters in the Sefer Torah, there are 304,805 letters in the entire Sefer Torah. And if you go to the midpoint of that, the midpoint letter, which is 152,403 letters in, it is actually quite far from the letter of the Vav in Gachon, which is in our Aliyah. In fact, it's 5,000 letters later than where it should be. That's a significant difference. 5,000 letters. We may say that we're not Bekiyim and Maleos or Chaseros, in which letters, which words are spelled full or not full, without changing the meaning, but to say that happened 5,000 times is a little bit of a stretch. In fact, when congregating all the Torahs and all the different Masorahs of the Torahs that we have written today, there are really only 9 inconsistencies in spelling, meaning there are some more inconsistencies, but we're able to usually locate when this experiment was done, and Rabbi Breuer talks about this in the research that was done, and they would find, let's say, a vast majority of the Sefer Torah would be one way, and there'd be one or two which was the other way. We know that the one or two were the mistakes, and then those would be aggregated out. And that was true for most issues. So let's say we already saw this process in the times of the second base of Mikdash, and we talked about there were 3 Sefer Torah in the Azara, And they each had a different variation in one particular word, and the other two were used against the one, and that singular, we'll call it anomaly, to be voted out. So, meaning to say, in the one Sefer Torah where it's called Sefer Torah, he is the way the word he was spelt in one example. So the other two Sefer Torah clearly showed that this one was the singular one, and it was voted out. So future Torahs were written based on the majority of that particular word and tradition. So this is true about everything except for nine inconsistencies in the entire Sefer Torah, where it doesn't seem like it's just one that was misspelled, but it seems that it's not clear which grouping was the correct or the incorrect tradition. But for nine inconsistencies, that does not give us the discrepancy of 5,000. So why is the Vav not in the center as well? There are a lot of discussions on this topic. So there is a number of possibilities. One is that Rav Eliyahu Possek in Piskei Eliyahu actually points out that perhaps what is going on here is that it's what Rav Yosef is talking about in the Gemara in Kiddushin is counting all the Meleos HaChaseros themselves, meaning counting all the Vavs. The vavs which could have been omitted but were not omitted, and this vav of the gachon is the middle of all of those letters as well. There's another possibility, and this first possibility of Rav Possek is a beautiful and valid possibility. It's just hard to actually verify that ourselves as to all those missing vavs. However, Rav Yitzchak Zilber has a very beautiful possibility, and this is something which is worthwhile noting, and that is that the letter vav in the word gachon is enlarged, and that is if you count all the unusual letters in the Torah. There's a small this, a big that, a hanging this. There's a number of unusual syntax changes. Of all the changed syntaxes, the vav is the middle of all of those letters. So maybe what the Gemara is actually saying is the middle of all of those unusual letters is the vav, and it truly is if you count them. Similarly, darash darash, which is the middle of the Torah in words, is also off of the middle of the words. You actually count the words, but if you count all the double words in the Torah, there's a number of words which are the same word repeated in the Torah, for whatever reason, in the particular context, darash darash is the middle of all of those. So far from thinking, as perhaps some academics have claimed, based on this Gemara in Kiddushin, that the Torah is completely off-center and completely inaccurate, no, perhaps we just need to have a little bit of an appreciation and humility in understanding what is actually being counted in this Gemara, which gives us a greater appreciation of this experience of learning the Torah HaKadosh, the Holy Torah. With this, we conclude the 7th Aliyah of Shmini and Parshas Shmini. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbos.